Many of you know I enjoy gardening. I've always enjoyed that since the earliest days, and I even have a few rose bushes at my mom's house that go back to when I was in eighth grade, not that long ago. But either way, gardening is hard work. Every year, I have to do some tilling of the soil and adding the fertilizer. During the course of the growing season, there's always uprooting the weeds. Rocks somehow emerge that have to be removed. There's dealing with the diseases and the pests and so on. Nevertheless, it's worth it to see the fruit, be it fruit, vegetables, or the beautiful flowers, is really for me very miraculous. It shows the beauty of God. Well, for that reason, this parable has great meaning for me. But that's why our Lord spoke in parables. Jesus used stories to convey truths. He used stories that had common circumstances, events, situations, so that people could hear that word, reflect on it, and hopefully by God's grace, be brought into a closer relationship with the Lord. Being at the Sea of Galilee, which is still to this day the breadbasket of Israel, all of these people could relate to the parable of the sower. So with that in mind, we look at the word being sown. The key here is, who's the word? Well, Jesus is talking really about himself. In our first passage from Isaiah, God speaks through Isaiah and says, "My word is eternal and true. My word is efficacious and living. I will send my word to you, and he will accomplish my will." That is Jesus. Jesus, true God, became true man. As we read in St. John's Gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory of an only begotten Son filled with enduring grace and love. Jesus came to do his Father's will. He came to perfectly reveal God's truth and love. He came to give us life and to give life abundantly, especially through his passion, death, and resurrection. And so Christ is that word. The parable then challenges us to ask ourselves, how do we receive the word? God doesn't force it, does he? Even in the parable story, it's not as though the sower just went out and tilled all the soil and got everything ready. He just scatters the seed. It's up to us to receive it. God doesn't force himself on us. So our Lord does explain the parable to the apostles, and you and I probably know individuals who have had hardened hearts and just reject the faith. They call themselves atheists or cowardly agnostics or whatever it may be. And there are those who have the rocky hearts where they may embrace the faith, but then some trial, tribulation, suffering, setback comes. They become angry with God, the one they need the most, and they remove themselves from God. And then there are those who may have the thorns grow up and choke off their faith. The pursuit of money, material things, the pursuit of a career, position, power, whatever, chokes off their faith. But then they're the ones who are fertile, and they become the saints. So you and I have to ask ourselves that, what is the condition of our own heart, our own soul, this garden that has received God's word? Well, we're called to be fertile, and that's really why we're here. So to have a fertile soul and allow this word to grow, this demands us, though, to take the time to pray each day. That includes not just our regular prayers or the rosary, but allowing our heart to talk with the heart of our Lord. Take time to study the faith. And with that, reading sacred scripture, especially the Gospels or the Catechism, the life of the saints. Take time for regular confession and self-examination. Even though we may have the fertile heart, all of us here have to attest, at times the weeds appear, the thorns, and we have that sin that needs to be dealt with and removed, Or maybe there's a hardness because of a hurt, some problem that has happened that needs to be pulverized. We too have to have devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, for there we receive the nourishment we need to produce the fruit that our Lord wants. And then, of course, we have to put it all into action. Doing the good charitable works helps our faith grow. Being mindful of the needs of others helps this faith grow. So in all, it is a struggle. Growth is. And even St. Paul speaks about how we go through like these labor pains in a way. But so be it. We are born, we're meant to be born to everlasting life. In all, though, by going through this constant growth, then we fall in love with the Lord. We know His love, and we find real freedom. Here's a special challenge for you parents, especially those of you who have little children, and those of you who are grandparents and have little grandchildren, because your fertile heart that wants to grow in the faith has to make sure the home environment is fertile for your child to grow in the faith. Your child comes into this world in total innocence. That child, through baptism, receives all these beautiful graces, sanctifying graces, is reborn as a child of God. That grace has to be allowed to grow. That takes, though, a fertile environment, an environment of faith. So you parents, whether your children are very young or even teenagers, whatever, you take the time to have that environment. Take the time to pray with your children. Grace at meals, bedtime prayers, family rosary, whatever it may be. Take the time to teach them the faith, especially as they're growing up. Take the time to bring them to confession. And that self-examination is so important. They need to know the commandments. They need to know what is right and good in the eyes of God, and therefore what sin is, and how to seek forgiveness for sin. Take time, of course, for Sunday Mass, but to instill a strong devotion to the Holy Eucharist. Take time, too, to do the good charitable works with your children so that they put this faith into action. As a priest, being here, how wonderful it is that I've seen parents with some young children come into church and they help the little child make the sign of the cross with the holy water, or they'll go around and point out different things to the little child, like there's St. Joseph, there's the Blessed Mother, there's Jesus in the tabernacle. We're planting the seeds of faith and allowing them to grow. As the children become older, of course, you have to talk with them about the serious moral issues and tell them what it is to be a real Christian in this world. Some things we do not do. We live by God's standard, not the world's. How wonderful it is to see young people active in our parish, serving maybe as a lector or an usher. Father Farrell talked about the kids that went to work camp. That helps them put their faith into action, because this is how the faith takes root, how they fall in love with Christ, how they have a life perspective that goes beyond this life. The real caution, and this is a very serious caution, is for you parents to be on guard against the technology. Now, we live with technology. We can't change that. But we have to deal with it properly. When I was growing up, if the phone rang, my parents knew the phone rang, and they knew who was on the phone. They knew how long I was talking, and they usually knew what I was saying, too, because the phone was in a public area. Not anymore. With these iPhones, smartphones, whatever kind of phones they are, they're like all these little computers. And not only are they phones, but then they have the internet access, and there's Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram and so on. So a child can live in this very little private isolated world, and the evil can come in. A child can easily receive so many bad things through the internet. And so many bad things can occur because of this. We hear of things like the sexting, the revenge porn, the cyberbullying, and the effect that has on children. I know young people who have, I would say, like an addiction to bad pictures that come over the computer. It's all the cell phone. And this is killing their faith. Also, it can lead to an isolation. Mark Zuckerberg, who's the CEO of Facebook, recently gave an address to a conference that dealt with his developers. And he said, Facebook is to provide the community the churches once provided. Well, I don't think Facebook's going to somehow take over the Catholic Church or replace it. But what he's saying is, you can have your own little community. You really don't need real friends. You have all your little other friends that are virtual. You don't need a community like this. Matter of fact, you probably don't even need a family. You can just have your little thing and your Facebook and virtual reality, which is no reality. So parents, you have to be on guard to make sure your children have that personal relationship with the Lord. And that comes through your help by providing the fertile environment. Granted, when children are 18 and so on, they go off, maybe they go astray. The weeds choke off their gift of faith, or the rocky soil has that faith somehow wither up, whatever. But pray for them. Be the good example. There's always hope. St. Augustine, that wayward young man, was brought to a conversion at age 33 by God's grace, but also through the constant prayers and tears of his mother, St. Monica, and the preaching of St. Ambrose. So there's always hope. And even if the heart's the hardest, there's still hope. I remember once I was in some national park, and there was this rock that had a stone, or a rock that had a hole right through it. And the hole was caused by centuries of this water dripping on the rock. So if that can happen to a hard stone, think of how God's grace can crack a hardened heart. So we never give up. So we take heed to this parable. And the challenge is, how do we receive this word? But then, how do we create the fertile environment of faith for our loved ones? May we look to our Blessed Mother, who received the Word of God and gave birth to our Lord, and then rely on her prayers to bring us closer to her Son. May God bless you.